Lord Peter Whimsey. Starring Ian Carmichael as Lord Peter. The Five Red Herrings by Dorothy L. Sayers. Adapted in 8 episodes by Chris Miller. Episode 3, Bicycles. Lord Peter Whimsey is convinced that Sandy Campbell was murdered by one of the 6 artists with whom he'd recently quarrelled. The day after the discovery of Campbell's body in the Minnoch, a remote burn in Galloway, Jock Graham, one of the 6 suspects, lets slip to Whimsey and Constable Duncan that he knows rather more than he pretends.
Come on now, Jock. Put us out of our misery. You can see the suspense is telling on us. You say you've been hiding and out of contact for the last 2 days. So how do you know Campbell was found up at the Minnoch?
Aye, sir. And I'm asking you officially, how did you get?
It's a suspicious circumstance, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you. I knew Campbell was going to be up at the Minnoch yesterday because he told me so.
He told you so, sir?
Yes, why not? I did sometimes speak to Campbell without throwing boots at him, you know. He told me on Monday that he was going up the next day to paint the bridge.
If that is the case, sir...
Yes?
Well, sir, if you knew where Mr. Campbell was yesterday morning, I must insist that you now answer my original question. Where have you been for the past 2 days? As a matter of routine, sir.
Oh, not again. This lad's one of the bulldog breed, Whimsey. Constable, I was not up at the Minnoch, but where I was is my affair.
Do I understand, sir, that you refuse categorically to state where you have been from Monday night until now?
Got it at last. We're slow but sure in this country, Whimsey. That's right. I refuse categorically, absolutely, in toto, and entirely. Make a note of it in case you forget it.
I'll have to be reporting this to the authorities, sir.
Right. I'll have a word with them. And now, Constable, if you have no objection, I shall retire into my hotel. Good night. Night, Whimsey.
Good night, Jock. Never mind, Duncan. You know what Graham's like. He's a great lad for the ladies. That's probably the explanation.
Aye, my lord.
Well, I'm going into the hotel, too. You'll join me for one at the bar.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I actually came over to inquire into the disappearance of young Andy's rally bicycle. Must get all the details.
Excuse me for asking, my lord, but, no one has explained to me what exactly is the importance of the bicycle in this case.
Well, it's perfectly simple. If my theory is correct, the only way the murderer could have got away from the Minnoch after depositing Campbell's body therein was by cycling to the railway. Sergeant DL is investigating the movements of a chappie with a pushbike who caught a train at Girvan and went on at least to Ayr. But if the machine is to be traced, we need a description of all those which have gone missing in the last 48 hours.
And how many bicycles have gone missing, my lord?
3. 2 belonging to suspects, Mr. Farron and Mr. Waters, who have disappeared with them. And 1 belonging to young Andy here. And it was stolen on Monday night, Constable. The night of the murder.
Good morning, Inspector.
Good morning, my lord. Sergeant DL asked me to thank you for the details of the bicycle stolen from the Arnworth Hotel.
Did he manage to dig out descriptions of the other 2?
Aye, my lord. Mr. Waters' machine is a Humber, very old and rusty, according to his landlady, while Mr. Farron's is clean and well kept.
Did he go round to see Mrs. Farron?
Aye, my lord.
How was she?
Oh, fine.
When I gave her the news about Campbell yesterday, she was deuced upset. And when I accidentally dropped the word suicide into the conversation, she fainted. Well, I hope she's better now.
Oh, I think so, my lord. But I reckon Mrs. Farron is still more than a wee bit worried about yon husband of hers upping and disappearing like that. When D.L. asked her about the bicycle, she claimed she didn't even know the make. But D.L. thinks she can find there's some importance to be attached to the machine, but she doesn't care what to say about it.
So where did he get the description?
From one of the bicycle shops near the toll booth. Here it is. Rally, not new, but in good condition. Black, new Dunlop tire, fitted to back wheel a few weeks ago. Bell, brake, locks, lamps and brackets all in good order.
Yeah, that seems detailed enough.
Mm. And Constable Ross has just telephoned from here.
Excuse me.
What can I do for you?
I'd like to have a word with Inspector McPherson, please.
Oh, McPherson, can I help?
Aye. It's about Mr. Farron. And poor Mr. Campbell, what was murdered.
Yeah. We're just talking about Farron. Very good. What's your name?
Mayor. Jamie Mayor. I have a wee farm just beyond Twinholme.
I can it, aye. Well, carry on, Mr. Mayor. What have you got to tell us?
Well, it was Monday night, about 9 o'clock. I was having a dram in the Murray Arms in Gatehouse when Mr. Farron came in, looking very wild and queer, and he shouted, "Where's that bastard Campbell?" Begging your pardon, gentlemen.
Not at all.
Was Campbell there?
No, sir. When Mr. Farron saw that, he calmed down a wee bit and had a whiskey or two. I'm thinking from what he said that the quarrel had to do with Mistress Farron, poor lady.
I'll not be surprised. Early in the evening, Farron had thrown Campbell out of his house. How long did he stay, Mr. Mayor?
About 10 minutes. Then he asked again where Campbell was, so I told him I'd seen him taking the road to Creetown.
Creetown? But at 9 o'clock, Campbell was in the McClellan Arms here in Kirkcudbury. I was there too, I know.
Aye, sir, I can't laugh, for I'd been in there earlier, but Farron was in a dangerous mood, very dangerous. So I thought to send him in the opposite direction.
I see. So Farron went off to Creetown?
No, sir. When he left on his bicycle, he started back in this direction again. I don't know wherefore. I was a wee bit worried, so I began to follow him. But at the War Memorial, he suddenly turned left up the road towards the golf links. I didn't follow him further after that, as I kept he wouldn't find Campbell up there. But that was the last I saw of him.
Very interesting, Mr. Mayor.
Aye, we'll look into it straight away. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll contact you again if we need you.
Thank you, Inspector. Good day to you.
Good morning.
Now, why should Farron go up towards the links, Inspector?
I can't imagine, but... Except...
Hmm?
Well, that's where Harry Strachan lives up that road, and Farron and Strachan are particularly friendly.
Yes. Now, what are Farron's movements on the evening in question so far? 6 o'clock, he finds Campbell with Mrs. Farron, leaps to the wrong conclusion, and slings Campbell out. From 6 to 7, he argues with his wife. At 7 o'clock, he charges off on his bicycle, and then 2 hours later, he suddenly appears in Gatehouse, still yelling for Campbell's blood. Now, what, I wonder, was he doing between 7 and 9?
Oh, goodness say, my lord. But to return to the matter of the bicycle, my lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Constable Ross reported from Ayr just before you arrived. The guard on the train from Stranraer is certain that the bicycle belonging to the traveller had relatively new tyres. So it could well be Farron's.
Say it could. But it could be the Anworth one, too. What about the traveller? Has Ross tracked him down yet?
No, he was last seen going towards the exit at Ayr Station. After that, he vanished.
Everybody seems to be doing that, don't they? Vanishing, I mean. Of my 6 suspects, Farron, Waters and Garn have disappeared in suspicious circumstances. Jock Graham did the same, but has now returned. Ferguson is still in Glasgow, and only Strachan has been around since the murder.
Mr. Ferguson returned also last night, my lord.
Oh, did he? What have we got on him?
Virtually nothing, my lord. Sergeant Deal has been in Glasgow this morning checking all the railway tickets. Mr. Ferguson's first-class return from Gatehouse was duly punched at Maxwell Town, Harrelford and Mochlean, and given up at Glasgow, which is more or less definite proof that he was on the train all Tuesday morning when the murderer was up at the Minnoch pretending to be Campbell painting.
An alibi, eh? Well, there's only one thing to do with an alibi, and that's to go along and test it.
Yes, my lord.
After all, Ferguson may be able to account for himself on Tuesday morning, but what about Monday night, when Campbell was actually murdered? Ferguson lives next door to him. He must at least have heard something. I think I'll pop over to Gatehouse and find out.
Oh, what is it?
Good morning, Mr. Ferguson. I don't know if you remember me. My name's Whimsy. I fancy we met once at Bob Anderson's.
Yes, of course, sir. Come in. When I heard you knock, I thought you were going to be a pound of sausages or the man from the greengrocer's.
I'm afraid the place is in rather a mess. I've been away for a couple of days, and Mrs. Green seized the opportunity to tidy up. with the result that I've had to spend a couple of hours untidying it again. I never can find anything I want in a tidy studio.
And now I've come barging in and interrupting you just as you're settling down to paint, right?
Oh, not a bit. It doesn't worry me. I'll just continue if you don't mind.
Indeed.
Find yourself a seat.
Yeah, thank you. Been in Glasgow, haven't you?
Yes, sir. Ran up to look at the show.
Yeah, is it a good one?
Oh, not bad. Craig's got some fine studies, and that's a good thing of Donaldson's. The usual allowance of duds, of course. I really went to see the Farquharsons.
And now you've come back to find you've lost your next-door neighbour.
Yes, I don't care to think too much about that. Campbell and I were not exactly in the best of terms, but I wish he could have departed some other way.
It's all rather queer, ain't it? I suppose you've had the police round, you're asking the usual question.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Apparently it's just as well I had an alibi. Look here, Whimsy. Tell me one thing, and it's no good you're pretending you don't know, because you do. Is there any doubt at all that Campbell died the same morning that he was found?
Whatever makes you ask that?
Well, why can't you give me a straightforward answer?
Seems such a damn funny question. I mean, of course. Didn't they tell you about the picture?
What picture?
The picture that Campbell had been painting. The paint was still wet on it when they found him, do you see? So he must have been alive on Tuesday morning, or he couldn't have painted it, could he? Besides, he was seen up at the minute as late as 11 o'clock. You can't mistake that great cloak and hat of his, can you?
No. Well, they didn't tell me that. Well, that settles it, of course. Could you pass me that paint rag?
What made you ask?
Thank you. Well, the police have been asking questions. Not just about Tuesday, but about Monday night too. And I had to admit that I was here, and then they became damnably inquisitive.
Did they? Well, I'm blessed.
That was why I wanted to know. It's extremely unpleasant if there's any doubt about Campbell having been alive on the Tuesday morning.
Yes, I see your point. Well, as far as I know, anybody who has a complete alibi for Tuesday morning is perfectly safe.
Oh, I'm glad of that. In that case...
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact is, Whimsy, there are one or two things I didn't tell those police fellows. Perhaps I'd better spill the beans to you, and then you can say whether I ought to mention it. I'm not particularly anxious to make trouble for anyone, but on the other hand, you know, I don't want to be an accessory or anything.
If my opinion's worth anything, I'd say cough it up. After all, if anybody did do the poor devil in, it's rather up to one to get it detected and so on, what?
Yes, if I only knew why they wanted to know about Monday night.
Well, they wanted to find the last person who saw the man alive. It's always done. It's part of the regular show.
Ah.
Well, what is it you didn't let on about?
One or two things. I heard Campbell come in a little after 10. I told him that. But then, just after midnight, well, somebody else knocked at his door and went in. I didn't know who it was, and I didn't bother to get up and look.
And where did this person go?
Oh, I've no idea how long he or she stayed.
She?
Well, it could have been. Now, what have I done with that tube of cobalt? Yes, it could have been a she. There were women in Campbell's life, I'm sure. Ah. You've heard all the talk about Campbell and Mrs. Farren, I expect. Not that there's anything in it. I think Campbell was fond of her in his way, but she's much too high-minded to get herself into trouble. Everyone can see that, apart from Farren. He was beastly jealous of Campbell's attentions.
So I've heard. So this midnight visitor is the only piece of evidence you've withheld from the police?
No. I don't see that they have anything to do with Campbell's murder, but... Well, there was a sort of hullabaloo next door earlier in the evening, about 8 o'clock.
Was there? What sort of hullabaloo?
Well, a fellow came round banging on Campbell's door and using language. Campbell was out, rather fortunately, because I gathered there was a perfectly good shindy brewing.
What happened?
Well, I stuck my head out and told this fellow not to make such a filthy row. And he asked me where the something rather that, what do you call it, Campbell was. I said I hadn't seen him all day and asked him to remove himself. So then he started on some rigmarole about all the nasty things he would do to Campbell, both inside and out, if once he laid hands on him. Well, it was obvious he didn't really mean it, so I didn't pay much attention. Eventually, I told him to forget about it, and he told me to go and do this and that to myself, and by that time I get fed up. So I taught him that he could go away and hang himself, and he said that was exactly what he was going to do, only he must slay Campbell first.
Who was this fellow?
Well, I suppose I shall have to tell you. As a matter of fact, well, I'm afraid it was Farron.
Inspector MacPherson.
All right.
My wee daughter has something to tell you. Come along in and speak civilly to the policeman or they'll have you locked up. Ken Fine, she'd been up to some mischief and I wouldn't arrest while I got it out of her. She's a bad girl, stravating about the country with the laddies when she should be in her bed. But they'll no listen to their mothers these days. You can't do anything with them.
That's true enough. Now, could I be having your name?
Mrs. McGregor, I am, huh? And we have our cottage between Gatehouse and Kirkcudbury. You've kenned the place nearby Auchinhay. Me and my man was away to Kirkcudbury last Monday night, and Helen was alone at home. And no sooner were we away than she's away out, leaving the door open behind her as light as not for anybody to come in.
George, just a moment. This wee lassie will be Helen, I'm thinking.
Yes,
aye, that's Helen. I thought it best to bring her, seeing as this poor Mr. Campbell's been put out of the way, so the postman says. And I says to George, if Mr. Campbell was fighting on the road on Monday night, then the police ought to know about it. And George says...
Mr. McGregor! Now, if your wee Helen can tell us something about Mr. Campbell, we'd like fine to hear it. But we'll just let the lassie tell us her own tale from the beginning. Come along, Helen. Don't be frightened now. Speak up.
Aye, sir. We was playing in the field, sir. Me and the boys from the farm.
Which field, Helen?
The one near the main road, sir. Where there's a big bend, you ken. And the big walls.
You'll be meaning the S-bend about halfway between Gatehouse and Kirkcudbury.
Aye, sir. The boys was away on the other side of the field, but I had to go home as it was 9:45, sir.
How did you know that?
Alistair. He's got a new watch from his grandpa, sir. He told me.
9:45? Very good. So what happened, Helen?
I walked to the road and I saw a man in a car which had stopped, sir. Then I heard another car coming from Gatehouse. And suddenly the man drove his car into the middle of the road and the other car had to stop. It nearly crashed. And then the man spoke. And then the other man said... Campbell, of course, it would be Campbell, sir.
So Mr. Campbell was the first man you saw, the one who drove into the middle of the road?
Aye, sir. Then they both got out of their car, sir, and started fighting. I couldn't see, sir, because they were behind the cars, and I was scared.
Tell the policeman about the spanner.
Aye. Well, while they was fighting, sir, suddenly a big spanner flew in the air and it almost hit me, sir.
Did you touch it?
Oh, no, sir. I was scared. And then I looked up, sir, after a wee bit, sir, and one of the men was getting up and carrying the other one on his shoulders. I think he was dead, sir, because he just hung there.
And what did this man do with the body?
He put it in the car, sir.
Which car, lassie? The one you'd seen first, Mr. Campbell's? Or the one which had driven up from the direction of Gatehouse?
The second one, sir. And then he drove off, sir, back towards Gatehouse. And then, about 2 minutes later, I heard footsteps, sir, and I thought it was the man coming back. And I was very scared, so I ran home, sir, all the way, sir.
And that is all?
No, sir. Just when I got home at 10:05, sir, because I looked at the clock in the kitchen in case I was late, a car came past very fast towards Kirkcudbury, sir. But I didn't see it, sir. I just jumped into bed and pulled the clothes over my head. I was so scared, sir.
Campbell must have been murdered rather earlier than the doctor calculated. In fact, about 9:45.
I still don't quite understand this car business, MacPherson. You see, the murderer put the body into his own car and drove off back towards Gatehouse, returning on foot. What, a couple of minutes later?
So it would appear, my lord.
Having left the car and the body concealed somewhere by the side of the road, I suppose.
Aye, my lord, aye.
But why, Inspector? Why do you think he did that?
In order to remove Mr. Campbell's car as quickly as possible from the scene of the crime, my lord. No doubt he drove it back to Gatehouse and returned by bicycle.
Yes. But why didn't he put Campbell's body into Campbell's car and drive it off? Why court discovery by leaving the body in his own car? And while we're about it, who was the man in the third car whom Helen heard driving furiously towards Kirkcudbright 10 minutes later? He may not have anything to do with the case, of course, but at the very least, he must have passed the murderer on the road.
Aye, my lord, that's so. He'll have to be found.
Indeed. Now then, next question. How does all this fit in with the evidence about Farron?
Oh, good heavens, my lord, of course. The times fit perfectly.
Do they?
Aye, my lord. See, Farron was last seen about 9:15 going up the road to the golf links.
Yeah, on his bicycle there, Macpherson. Where did he acquire a car from by 9:45?
But that's the point, my lord. He borrowed Strachan's car. That's why he was going up that road. Obviously, he'd seen through Mr. Mayor's story about Campbell being away to Creetown and decided that he must be in Kirkcudbright after all. So rather than bicycle all the way back, he went up to see Strachan and borrow his car.
Yeah, well, that certainly makes sense.
Another thing, my lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this explains everything. The taking of the wrong car, the leaving the body, everything. The reason Farron left Campbell's body in Strachan's car by the side of the road was that at that point, he was intending to put the guilt of the murder onto Strachan.
Yeah, now, wait a moment, Inspector, wait a moment. Is that likely? Surely all Strachan would have to do when accused in those circumstances would be to tell how he lent the car to Farron, and that would be the end of that.
I dare say Farron realized that while driving Campbell's car back to Gatehouse. No doubt that was when he got the idea of faking the accident up at the Middach.
Yes. Well, let's run through Hugh Farron's movements again. 6 o'clock, turns Campbell out of the house. 7 o'clock, leaves home on his bicycle. 8 o'clock, according to Ferguson, arrives at Campbell's cottage, threatening murder and mayhem. 9 o'clock, he enters the Murray Arms, still looking for Campbell. 9:15, bicycles up to Strachan's house and borrows his car. 9:45, accidentally meets Campbell on the Gatehouse Kirkcudbright Road, fights with him and murders him. And 10 o'clock puts Campbell's body into Strachan's car and himself drives Campbell's car back to Gatehouse. Yeah, so far, so reasonable. What does he do then, Inspector?
Well, after putting Campbell's car in the garage, I would think he walked up to Strachan's and collected his bicycle.
Yes?
Then he bicycled to the scene of the crime, put the machine in the car and drove back to Campbell's house. Now there, his main task was, of course, to remove the body from the car and hide it, either in the house or in the garage. Then he returned Strachan's car to its owner. And finally, he came back to Campbell's cottage to prepare evidence of Campbell's having spent the night and breakfasted there.
All of which could have been accomplished by midnight?
Aye, my lord.
So Farron, in fact, visited Strachan's house 3 times. To collect the car, pick up his bicycle, and return the car. Well, someone must have seen or heard him. Even if Strachan refuses information or lies stoutly in defense of his friend, there are still Mrs. Strachan and their daughter and the maid.
Very true, my lord. And, of course, Mr. Farron also visited Mr. Campbell's cottage 3 times. First to return the car, second to bring in the body, and third, on foot, to fake the evidence.
Yes. Well, Ferguson heard someone coming in at midnight, so it looks as if the third of those is accounted for. Funny he didn't hear anything of the 2 visits by car. Well, I suppose he must have been asleep.
Aye, my lord.
All the same, that looks pretty impressive to me, Inspector. Farron looks like your man.
Aye, clear as daylight. Poor Farron. He must have been in a rare way to go and do such a thing. It's a pity we lost so much time. It's 100 to 1 he's out of the country by now.
Out of the country or out of the world?
Lord?
Well, that's what he said to Ferguson. That he was going to kill Campbell and then do away with himself.
Aye. He often says it and doesn't he do it. But whiles, they do it all the same.
Yes.
I'm thinking we'll not be far wrong if we send a search party up into those hills behind Creetown, my lord. You mind the sad affair there was a year or two ago with a poor woman who threw herself down one of the old lead mines? How do you ken, my lord? I'm thinking this'll be just the very thing that Mistress Farron's fearing. Well, she doesn't like to say so.
No, I absolutely agree. I think she believes her husband's killed himself and daren't say so because she suspects he may have done the murder. Well, you better get your sleuthhounds up there at once, Inspector. Yeah, oh, and another thing.
My lord?
Yeah, suddenly occurred to me. There's a piece of hugely important evidence lying to hand, if only we can bother to go and collect it.
What would that be, my lord?
The murder weapon. The heavy spanner that nearly laid out little Helen. It's almost certainly still by the side of the road.
My lord, we must go and pick it up at once. Excuse me. Macpherson.
Hello, Inspector. It's Ross here again from here.
Aye. What have you got for us now? Well, you'd like to pick up the extension.
It's about yon bicycle and the traveller, sir. Something very odd's been going on.
Well, what have you found out? Well, the traveller now, he was last seen walking briskly towards the station exit.
Aye, sir. Carrying a Ritashi case. He was then seen disappearing down a small side street in which there's nothing but the back entrances of warehouses and a public convenience.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes later, the bookstall clerk saw a man in a soft felt hat and a Burberry pass by, going towards the booking hall.
And you're thinking this is the same man? That he put the Burberry on, perhaps, on the convenience?
Aye, sir.
Where did he go after that?
I don't know, Ken, sir. There were 6 trains leaving here in the half hour following, and he could have been on any of them.
Mm.
Well, except the 154 to Glasgow.
Why not that one?
Because of the bicycle, sir.
What bicycle?
Well, let me explain. The 154 is the same train as the one the traveller arrived on, the one from Stranraer. Now, he waits 6 minutes at here, and then goes on to Glasgow. Now then, at 2:20, about half an hour after it had left, a porter noticed a man's bicycle leaning against a wall in the station. The bicycle was labelled for Euston.
What happened to it?
Well, sir, at 5 o'clock it was still there. And as it was correctly labelled, the porter put it on the Euston train.
Mm.
But the point is, sir, during the 6 minutes the train from Stranraer was in the station, that bicycle couldn't have been labelled, as there was a porter on duty by the case containing labels, and he swears no bicycle passed through his hands.
Mm.
Now, furthermore, even after 154, no porter remembers labelling the bicycle.
So you're suggesting that Traveller relabelled it himself after the 154 had departed?
So it would seem, sir.
Did you obtain a description of the machine?
Aye, sir. It was a Raleigh with good tyres.
I see. Well, let's telephone Euston and see if it arrived.
I've already done that, sir. From Mayor Police Station. It did. And it's in the left luggage office at Euston.
Still?
Aye, sir. I doubt whether anyone will be collecting it now.
No, no. Well, thank you, Ross. You've done a good job. I think you'd better return here.
Very good, sir. Goodbye.
Bye, Ross. My lord, did you hear that? A Raleigh with good tyres.
Sounds like the Ian with the tail machine to me, Inspector.
No. If yours not Farron's bicycle, I'll eat my heart.
Inspector, here's a telephone message from Cretoon.
What is it, Inspector?
A bicycle's been found up on the hills by Fal Bay, near the disused lead mines I was telling you about. And it's Hugh Farron's. His name's written on a label on the handlebars. My lord, he really has done away with himself.
In that episode of The Five Red Herrings, the parts were played as follows. Lord Peter Whimsey, Ian Carmichael, PC Duncan, David Strong, Jock Graham, Christopher Schooler, Inspector McPherson, Don McKillop, Jamie Mayer and the Constable, Jonathan Scott, Ferguson, Ian Blair, Mrs. McGregor, Miriam Margulies, Helen McGregor, Yvonne Gillen, and PC Ross, Gordon Kane. Bicycles was adapted by Chris Miller from the book The Five Red Herrings by Dorothy L. Sayers. The programme was produced by Simon Brett.